What is up from the SNY studios in New York City? Welcome to another edition of the Knicks Blog Podcast. As always, I'm Anthony Donahue, joined alongside my partner in crime on this show, going on its third season, and that is Moke Hamilton. Moke, what's up?
I'm doing all right. You sound energized. Well, I was going to say as usual, but that would actually be a lie.
Always, life is always a little better the day after a win.
How would you be feeling right now?
I was thinking about that in the first half yesterday.
If they did not come alive and you lose to the Brooklyn Nets.
So I'm watching the game last night, and we're down 12, 14 points, somewhere around there. And I said, listen, they're the Knicks. They've been awful for 15 years now, basically. I just looked at the Nets roster, and I was like, there's no way we lose this game. No offense to the Nets fans out there. They have some nice young pieces. They definitely do. I like Sean Kilpatrick. I like some of their kids. But I said, no matter what, we're not going to lose this game. And sure enough, the Knicks come back, ended up winning by almost 20 points, and the Garden faithful walked out happy.
Especially playing without Jeremy Lin.
Yeah. Did you see what Jeremy Lin was wearing last night?
Yeah, I think, are we jumping the gun? Are we jumping the gun?
On his wardrobe?
No. Not. Oh, man.
Answer the question. Did you see what he was wearing?
I did.
That was ridiculous.
Listen, man, the thing, we don't know what's more questionable about, what about the hair?
Yeah, there's a lot.
What is he doing with the hair?
Yeah, I don't know. It's not okay. It's
pissing me off,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, I don't like the hair. I'm not a fan of it. I'm not just saying it. Yeah, it's terrible. The hair is terrible. He doesn't need glasses, I don't think. And the jacket's awful. I miss the Jeremy Lin that would come out of the Knicks locker room, Moke, with sweatpants and a hoodie, because it was very authentic. Jeremy Lin, you are not authentic anymore.
I don't miss him at all, but I can understand if you do.
Well, he was likable then.
I was impressed by him.
Back 5 years ago?
Yeah. I was impressed by him. I will never, ever forget the Laker game.
Oh, that was one of the craziest nights of my life. That was unbelievable.
Craziest night of your life?
Yeah, because like the atmosphere, I've been to one.
What, it dropped 38?
Yeah, I've been to a lot of playoff games in my life. Been to a couple finals games that the Knicks didn't play in, unfortunately. The atmosphere that night, Moke, was unbelievable.
Yeah, no, I remember. And I think before the game, and I think Jeremy Lin probably just recently admitted that he was really fired up. I think maybe the day before, people were asking Kobe Bryant, like, oh, so what do you think about Jeremy Lin? And Kobe Bryant was like, who are you talking about?
He pulled the Rajah Bell.
They're like, who are you talking
the
about?
The Rajah Bell was my favorite, though.
Who is this kid?
Like 06, 07.
And Rajah Bell is older than him.
Yeah.
Right? So that was actually funny. But Kobe is like, who is this kid? Who are you talking about? And Jeremy Lin, quiet as can be, was like, oh, you don't know who I am.
And he killed it.
You about to learn today. And he went out there and he destroyed the Lakers.
He did.
So I'll always remember that. Funny how life comes
5 years
so
later, now you remember the Nets.
You know, like it. Funny,
wearing
funny
shiny jackets
happen.
And man buns.
Funny how things happen.
It is. That is very true. So let's get into the New York Knicks. And they won last night versus the Brooklyn Nets. They improved their record as we taped this show on Thursday afternoon to 3-4 with a couple tough games coming up versus the Celtics and the Raptors. But the biggest story is, because it's always a side story with the New York Knicks, is Phil Jackson's involvement. And I've said this since the day he got hired as president and general manager of the New York Knicks, Moke, is that it's a weird dynamic because it's fair to say that Phil Jackson is one of the top three coaches of all time, four coaches of all time. So do you want him to be involved as a coach or do you want the coach to coach? But it's not like you're getting advice from Jerry Reinsdorf, who's never coached probably a game in his life when he was, you know, it's Phil Jackson.
Right.
So it's a really weird dynamic. But I believe Phil Jackson did a really good job this summer. I like the players he got. He hired Jeff Hornacek, and I believe Phil, they could have meetings on the side behind closed doors over some beers and pizza, but it's of my belief that Phil needs to let Jeff coach.
Yeah, I tend to agree with that, Anthony. We're actually seeing the team. I mean, so as the season has progressed, obviously it's still really early, but what we are seeing, what we have seen, is we're seeing these guys mix up their triangle offense with pick and roll play, which Carmelo and Derrick Rose both are probably happy about.
Oh, absolutely.
So I do think that there is at
Bradley
least...
Jennings too?
Jennings as well. I think that there is a balance and there is some evidence of Jeff Hornacek being allowed to do his thing. What I wonder, though, and my concern is kind of like you, is the extent to which Phil is actually letting Jeff do what he wants to do when he wants to do it. And now you want to look at some other general managers, right? The parallel that I will always compare Phil Jackson to is Pat Riley in Miami.
Okay.
And what I can tell you for a fact, this is fact, in Miami, Pat Riley only spoke to and got involved with the team whenever Eric Spoelstra asked him to. And just remember,
and how often was that? I bet probably not much. I bet
that I don't know.
Okay,
but I would imagine
I bet it wasn't a lot.
I would imagine not often, but let's remember.
Wait,
here.
Did Pat Riley ever coach though? He was an okay coach, right?
Oh, did he ever coach?
No,
oh, yeah, I think he was okay.
Yeah,
he might not have been too bad.
Yeah.
But let's just remember, when Spoelstra took that team over, when LeBron James went down there within the first, and especially after Pat Riley shoved Stan Van Gundy out of the way, right? Within the first week of the season, people were talking about firing Eric Spoelstra because they said he can't handle these guys. You know, that Heat team started out 9-8, all right? They won 9 of their first 17 games. I think Eric probably was in Pat Riley's office a few times during their first season together.
And that's okay, that's his boss.
And that is okay. My concern with Jeff Hornacek is whether Phil is proactively getting involved or if Jeff is saying, hey, look, I think I need some help. What do you think about this? What do you think about that? I do not tend to think that Jeff has asked Phil to be involved.
I agree.
Based on what we've seen and heard. And that is a little bit of a concern.
I'll tell you what, Moke, I'm really starting to like Jeff Hornacek. I like the things that he says. He's a brilliant basketball mind. I think he is a tough defensive coach. They haven't played much defense yet, but I do think he can coach defense. I think Phil Jackson, as the president of the team, president of basketball operations, is doing the opposite of what you just talked about, of what Pat Riley did with the Heat, whether it was Stan Van coaching in the mid-2000s or when Spoelstra took over from 2008 and still the coach now for the Miami Heat. I think Phil Jackson is doing the opposite. I don't know if he's doing it every day, every hour, every minute, every 20 minutes. I don't know, but it's just a strange dynamic. Like I said, I think Phil's done a good job this summer. I like the roster that he got. Bench could be better. I like Jeff Hornacek. Unless Jeff goes to him and says, hey, I want to run this play, where should Joakim Noah be? That's fine, because that's Jeff Hornacek going to Phil Jackson. Phil assembled his team, and he did a good job, but I'm not bashing him for it. It's time to let Jeff Hornacek do what he wants to do.
See, and that's the other thing about Kurt Rambis being not only the lead assistant,
you mean
but
the rat?
Now also the rat, you call
well,
him?
Well, no, I don't know if he's a rat. He might be a rat. Every organization has a rat.
Damn, man.
No, I don't mean it like I don't mean it like disrespectfully. Every job
might
have that one
guy. You mean like
guy.
A mole, right?
Yeah, they might have that one guy. You know, there's that one guy that's watching everybody.
Called him a rat. But I mean, it's a valid concern because his personal relationship with Phil Jackson is well documented. Everybody knows that. And if you're Jeff Hornacek, it could be a little uncomfortable because, yeah, maybe you do have a mole. Maybe you do have a guy who Phil is having dinner with him on an off night.
Exactly.
And he's in his ear.
Double
like,
dates
you know?
With the wives.
Exactly.
So our good friend Ian Begley just tweeted that Jeff Hornacek said that it was not Phil Jackson's decision to appoint Kurt Rambis a defensive coordinator. It was his. That said, my theory on that is a few times in practice, maybe a couple times over the last month, Kurt Rambis started telling Jeff Hornacek about how great this triangle is. Triangle, triangle, triangle. Jeff woke up one day, turned to his wife and said, babe, I'm going to go to Kurt Rambis and he is going to be the defensive coordinator because I don't want to hear that man talk about offense ever again.
It's quite possible. It's quite possible. So with the New York Knicks, there's just always some drama.
Oh, we could be 82-0.
There's always some drama. So
is that just New York, though?
A lot of it is. And a lot of it is also the product of a team that does nothing but underperform and underwhelm.
Yeah, that's a fact.
Because here's the truth. You're Jeff Hornacek. You have a couple of assistant coaches on your bench beside you. You decide that you want to dedicate one of them to defense. No one gives a damn if the team is winning. No one gives a damn if it's not New York City. But because it's in New York, it's like, Kurt Rambis is now the defensive coordinator.
It's unbelievable.
Like, who really cares?
Yeah, you're right. That's a good point.
If the team is winning, no one is talking about
talking about it.
And that's my thing. A lot of the time when stuff comes up about the Knicks and then you go on Twitter, everyone is tweeting about it, everyone is talking about it. It's like, yo, he's a coach, has a staff, decides that instead of bringing somebody else on to be the quote-unquote defensive coordinator, he wants someone from within to do it. Now, if you want to tell me that you think Jeff Hornacek is lying, and that Phil is the one that came and said, yo, we're going to make Kurt the defensive coordinator. Well, now we got something to talk
about. Well, I'll say this. If that's the case, if Phil did it, I don't want to be negative here, then this marriage ain't going to last that long.
I agree.
If it was Jeff and it was Jeff's decision, fine. Right. But if Phil made this decision that makes Jeff really uncomfortable, this marriage will not last long.
I agree. Now, so that was just a little
fact. But the difference is, with this marriage, though, Moak, Jeff Hornacek has all the leverage, unlike Derek Fisher.
You think Jeff Hornacek has all the
Phil money? Jackson can. I mean, I know Jimmy Dolan has, you know, a budgets that are unlimited, but Phil Jackson cannot, and I repeat, cannot fire another coach.
Ah, I see what you're saying.
So that's why Jeff has the leverage.
I see what you're saying. No, that actually makes sense.
Giddy up.
I will not argue about that. So let's separate opinion from fact, right? Because we just gave you some facts. Now, if you want to ask me my opinion.
Okay, what's your opinion?
Do I think Jeff is lying? Yes, I think he's lying.
Man, oh, boy.
I think Phil made it make Kurt the defensive coordinator.
But here's the thing, though. Isn't Kurt Rambis some triangle aficionado?
No, hold on, wait.
So if he's a triangle aficionado, why would he coach defense?
Well, okay. See, now you're starting to think. Now you're starting to think like me. So let me ask you a question.
Okay.
If your team's defense is
Are you
is horrible,
in trial mode right now?
I'm in trial mode. If your team's defense is horrible, would you think that Kurt Rambis has been a head coach in the NBA before?
For like a day.
Minnesota Timberwolves.
For like a day.
Okay, fine. Like
a day with the Timberwolves, a half a day with the Knicks, and a half a day with the Lakers.
Okay. His teams routinely were in the bottom 90th percentile of defensive efficiency in the league. His teams were number 27, number 28. Maybe number 20, and this is the man that you want to entrust to be your defensive coordinator on your team? This makes no sense to me whatsoever. I don't think Jeff Hornacek
would proactively. Why would Phil do it? If you think Phil did it, why would he do it? Why?
I don't know. That's okay. A good question.
Right. Well, if you think Phil did it,
you just asked me
Phil
a question I don't have an answer to. Why would Phil do it? I don't know. Because Kurt Rambis is his friend? Because he wants it to be obvious?
But Kurt's the triangle aficionado besides Phil and Tex Winter.
So how does Kurt Rambis become a triangle aficionado?
Because it's Phil's guys. If you're a guy of Phil, you got to be a triangle aficionado.
All right. I can accept that as well. I'm going to live with that. So since we're in the conspiracy theory, why then does Phil make Kurt the defensive coordinator?
I think and here's the reason Jeff why. Really did.
Boy. Oh, so you think Jeff really did?
Maybe Kurt Rambis is telling Jeff how to run the offense, and Jeff is like, this is how I want to run the offense. High pick and roll, spread the court, Derek Rose, Brandon Jennings.
You want to do something? Go scout the
coach defense. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
That's funny.
You know what? I don't want to hear you talk about offense. He probably said it very nicely, very respectfully. Jeff's a gentleman. He said, listen, I'll worry about the offense. You go to defense, man.
It's very possible. The only thing that I can think of is by elevating. So the whole associate head coach, quote unquote, that's a fairly new thing in the NBA.
Yeah. I feel like the first guy I remember to get it was like Lawrence Frank with the Nets, although that did not last very long.
I don't remember, but what we've seen over the past maybe 10 years is coaches that are being hired without any prior head coaching experience.
Yeah, we've seen it a lot.
They have this invention now, this thing called the associate head coach. So you're Jason Kidd, right? And you sign your retirement paper and 3 days later you're a head coach with no prior experience. It's like, oh, he needs to have an associate head coach, someone who actually knows what he's doing to help him.
How'd that work out?
It didn't work out very well. But I mean, Mark Jackson, you know, Brian Shaw, like there are scores of coaches that were hired without any prior experience that had associate head coaches.
Who was it, Scalabrine?
I don't remember, man. But the point is, by elevating Rambis and calling him the defensive coordinator, what you're
is
doing.
Is that a demotion?
No, that's
not a promotion.
That's a promotion.
It is?
It's a promotion. If you have three coaches on your bench and now you're putting one guy in charge of something in football, right? You have a head coach, you have your offensive coordinator, you have your defensive
Correct.
Coordinator, and then you have your position coaches. The offensive coordinator and defensive coordinator are number two and three right below the head coach. In the NBA, the associate head coach is going to be your number two guy behind the coach or your lead assistant. And then after that, any other guy that has a title of being an offensive coordinator or a defensive coordinator is going to come higher in the pecking order
but
than
just
your other lowly
assistants. But it just seems
that
because Kurt's a Phil guy, he's known for the triangle. So it's a
so it's
a
weird.
To put
it
him
is
at
weird.
The defensive side of the basketball, obviously defense is important. I think it's a little strange.
I agree. It's very strange. It's very weird. Circling back to the Nets game for a second, though, if I'm not mistaken, that was the first game all season the Knicks didn't give up 100 points.
It was. You know, I actually tweeted, I think, Kurt Rambis saved the season.
Maybe they're on to something.
Hey, if it works out, I don't care.
Maybe they're on to something.
Maybe. Yeah, it's just a strange situation, but it was a good win for the, you know, it wasn't a good win. It was a win for the Knicks. I can't, every win isn't a good one. It was a win you're supposed to win. But now, as we tape the show on Thursday afternoon, the Knicks have two tough games coming up back-to-back. There was a couple people talking about how Derrick Rose and Joakim Noah didn't play in the fourth quarter. Was there a reason? I wasn't having beers with Jeff Hornacek last night. But the Knicks were in control of the game. Jeff Hornacek was probably aware that the Knicks play Friday versus the Celtics, Saturday versus the Raptors, both on the road. He probably said, sit out the rest of the game. Brandon Jennings is playing well.
You think that was it?
Yeah, I do. I don't think he bent. Derrick Rose played really well last night. He played 22 minutes and had like 14 and 6. He didn't bench them.
Didn't the game seem to change though when he went a little deeper?
It did. But it was going well. Mind you, you're playing the Nets. So Jeff probably kept them on the bench. Well, I don't think he benched them. Put it that way.
I don't know, man, because as well as Derrick Rose played, if you're out there on the floor and you're giving me 5 assists in a quarter or you're doing all these good things, if we're yielding it back on the defensive end, there's no gain. You know what I mean? Like, you're going to go out there and drop 40 points and have, you know, 14 assists. It's all good. But if you can't stay in front of your man, then you're not really gaining anything.
Carmelo Anthony sparked him in the third quarter. Then he really didn't play much in the fourth either.
That's a good point, but because he played so well, you can't look at it objectively and say, oh, well, maybe he got benched. Like, it's not possible that was the case. But you could make the case. When you look at the minutes that Hernan Gomez gave them and even Kosminskis, like, these guys gave him real good minutes. And the biggest issue in the first half of the game was they just looked lazy.
Yeah, they did. And if Hernan Gomez and Kosminskis can play well, are we going to start to see less of Kylo Quinn and Lance Thomas?
I think it's very possible.
I agree.
And aside from the win coming away from the game, so Carmelo, 14 straight points in the fourth,
third quarter,
like that. That was a great thing to see. It's good to know, even though he only ends up 9 of 22, which is not really that efficient, it's good to see him dominate in stretches like that, especially against a lowly team that he should be able to dominate. The biggest positive that I take away from that game is the fact that it goes to show you that Jeff Hornacek has a backbone and he has guts to say, yo, if I put you out there and you're not getting it done, I'm going to go deeper in the bench. I'm going to play guys that are willing to give me effort because we need to win.
And how about, and obviously Kristaps Porzingis is going to be the starting power forward for the Knicks, hopefully for the next 15 years. But how about playing, especially now at this point in his career, he is 21 years old, playing Porzingis with the second unit where he can be the dominant figure. He can be the alpha dog where when he's playing with Derrick Rose, Courtney Lee, Carmelo Anthony, Joakim Noah, he might be one of the best players of that group, but he's not the alpha dog.
When he's
playing with Hernan Gomez, Kosminskis, Brandon Jennings, Lance Thomas, Porzingis is the dog.
Or your favorite, Sasha Vujicic.
Sasha got some time. Sasha hit a three. Dropped a couple passes, but Sasha hit a three.
Yeah, I want to see Porzingis get a little better. I mean, he's improved tremendously, don't get me wrong. But for him to be effective and for him to be able to help this team as much as he actually can, he needs to continue to improve on creating his own shot.
Yeah, he's not great at that yet. It's tough to throw him, with Carmelo. You can do with Carmelo. Carmelo was doing that at probably 5 years old. But with Porzingis, it's tough to really throw him the ball like high post and have him do whatever he wants. He'll eventually be able to. He's not great at that just yet. But one thing a lot of Knicks fans have liked is the connection between Jennings and Porzingis. They seem to have some nice ESP going.
Yeah, they connected on a nice and one.
Yeah, yep, they did.
Against the Nets. So,
are you sold on Hernan Gomez right now?
Look, man, the guy gets out there and he gives you 14 points.
He's an old soul.
Like that.
It's an old school game.
And that's the other, well, I thought you actually meant the fact that he's actually not a kid fresh out of high school learning how to play basketball.
No, he's not.
He's someone who's been around a little bit, knows how to play, has been playing internationally, so... You know, we were impressed with this guy during training.
We were. Oh, it's not a surprise. We've been talking about him.
You know what I mean? So at this point, especially after what he gave you against the Nets, he deserved. He probably, that's the thing about the NBA. It's the beautiful thing about the NBA. It's like no matter what, no matter who you are, if you're on somebody's bench, you are going to get an opportunity.
Eventually, yes, you always will.
And it's a difficult thing, and that's why they always say you always have to just be ready, because you never know if you're Willie Hernan Gomez, you never know when Jeff might say, you know what, I need to spark.
And he went two games in a row without playing.
Exactly. Show me what you got. And now you're going to go out there and you're going to get to play 5 minutes.
Same with Kuzminskas.
And in those 5 minutes, if you can make a positive difference like that overnight, you can move up two spots in a rotation. And before you know it, you got yourself a $40 million contract because you made yourself, you know what I mean? Just because you were ready. I want to say something real quick about Porzingis. My concern about Porzingis is mentally. Porzingis is, you know, his basketball talent cannot be debated. What I worry about with him sometime is what we got with Danilo Gallinari.
Which was?
With Gallinari, you never, ever felt like he wasn't a good basketball player.
Never.
The issue with him was he never sold me on the fact that he wanted to be the alpha male or the dominant force.
That's a good point with Gallo. I was a big Gallo guy, but I never saw that. But he was also really young as well.
True. He was really young. But you know who else was really young? Damian Lillard.
Yes.
You know who else was? Kawhi Leonard.
Yes, that's
CJ McCollum. When guys have it in their DNA and in their blood and in their bones to want to go out there and take it to their opponent and be the best guy on the floor,
well, then
you see it very early.
With Gallo, though, in his third year, Amari Stoudemire came. Missed his whole first year. Next 2 years, played pretty well.
I understand.
And then Amari Stoudemire came, and we know he was the alpha dog, especially his first year in New York, the whole 19,763 chain MVP every night in November and December of the 2010-2011 season.
I get it. I get all that. And obviously now with Porzingis, you got Carmelo there, and now you got Derrick Rose in a contract year. Obviously, like, I understand that. What I'm saying, though, is talk about Gallo. We didn't see it back then, right? All these years later out there in Denver, he's a good player.
He's a good player.
But is he the type of player that his potential suggested he could be?
No.
No.
He's a good player.
So that's my concern with Porzingis is, do you want to be as great as we
think? I think he does.
Remains to be seen.
Moke, each and every week, Corey Griffin and Brian Bassett provide the latest on everything going on around the New York Jets. Oh, man, the Jets. And as we know, with the Knicks, there's always something going on with the Jets. Don't miss the TJB postgame podcast on Mondays, the Jets blog podcast on Thursdays. You can find both shows by subscribing to the SNY.TV audio network on the iPhone podcast app or whatever app you use to listen to your podcast. And the Jets, man, they always have something going on, too. It's funny. The Jets, the Knicks, you know, always have things going on, no matter what.
Why are you trying to depress my spirits, man?
I'm not. You said this. I brought the Jets a few weeks ago. I'm not dissing your. I'm a Knicks fan, so I know about drama. I'm just saying the Jets always have something going on, too.
Come on, man. Why you ragging on the Jets, man?
Going to get a quarterback next year?
See? There you go.
Knowing the Jets, you'll win your last five games. And bring back Fitzpatrick.
Listen, man, we better keep the conversation on Knicks, man, before something ugly happen up in here. And I told you to leave my gang green alone.
Well, shout out to Ryan Fitzpatrick. Each and every week on the Knicks Blog Podcast, we take a few topics and we go around the league and we chat about it. And my topic today is a team, team that I've always liked, a team I've always had an affinity for the last few years, and they are playing really good basketball throughout the year. I believe they were 8-1, and they're playing really good defense, and as of now, they're healthy, and that's a Los Angeles Clippers, Moke. They're playing really great basketball. Chris Paul is being Chris Paul. Blake looks like he's the Blake of about a year and a half ago. You know, J.J. Redick playing good basketball. Can this be the year, I'm not going to say finals, the Clippers are playing past the second round of the Western Conference?
Listen here, bro. Well, first of all, the Clippers are 7-1.
7-1.
So
okay.
Correction.
No, I said about 8-1.
Mr. Donahue, I always believe in Chris Paul.
So do I.
I love Chris Paul.
So do I.
I believe in these guys every year, and some bull crap always happens.
Yeah, 2 years ago they blew the series to the Rockets. Last year, Chris Paul gets hurt in Portland. Yep.
Exactly. So you know what? I'm not a believer in the Clippers.
Wait,
how about
the year
that?
Before that was Chris Paul trying to shoot a 70-footer, drawing the foul.
Oh, my God.
That was, I love you, Chris Paul. That was one of the dumbest plays of all time.
And he still does that. He still does that.
From 70 feet, that was
crap.
Stupid. That was stupid.
Oh, it pisses me off. What is he doing?
But can they get over the hump? And if they meet the Warriors or the Spurs in the second round, can they beat them?
Yes, they can. Will they? I don't know what Kawhi Leonard and Pau Gasol or Kevin Durant and Stephen Curry have to say about
that. Kawhi has been balling.
We gotta wait. Well, so segue into my around the league. Kawhi has been balling. You want to know who else has been balling?
I probably know, but you could tell me.
The Beard.
Oh, he's been out. He has been. I mean, I don't play fantasy basketball, but if you play fantasy basketball, I would have to think he should probably be your number one or number two pick.
Listen, the Atlanta Hawks, I got some love for them. First loss this season to the Cleveland Cavaliers a couple nights ago. So, all right, you know, big them up, give them their little respect. But we got to talk about James Harden, man, because Mike D'Antoni taking over there, I did not think that the Rockets were going to be a good team. I didn't think they were going to be playing defense. I didn't think James Harden was a good leader. It's like Dwight Howard is gone, and the sun has risen in Houston.
He's like a new man, James Harden. He's fun to watch, too, I got to say. He's fun to watch.
Get a load of the numbers.
The numbers are ballistic.
30.6 points per game. 7.8 rebounds a game from your point guard. How many assists a game, Ant?
12.
13 assists per game.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. How about Ryan Anderson? He's playing fantastic.
Listen, man, forget Ryan. We're talking about the beard right now.
No, he's been amazing. He's been incredible.
And this is a guy who I have been critical of. Right now, I look at what James Harden and the Houston Rockets are doing, and I can't say enough about these guys. They are playing out of their mind. James Harden, you can say what you want about LeBron, about Kawhi. James Harden right now at this moment in time, league MVP, well, no doubt.
You say about admitting when you're wrong. I had a hot, you know, I don't try to do the hot takes too much, but I had a hot take on this show about 4 or 5 weeks ago where I said, how the hell is James Harden ever going to play point guard? And then I saw him play a few preseason games, and I said, I want to take that back. Even though it was only preseason, I said, no, in this system, I'm taking that back. Now, if he's committed to it, and it seems that he is committed to moving the basketball, playing pick and rolls, getting guys the rock.
And he is.
And he's been fantastic.
And he has some nice chemistry with Clint Capella. And now I'll let you talk about Ryan Anderson. You know, Ryan Anderson.
Trevor Ariza.
Eric Gordon. Trevor Ariza.
Once a Nick, always a Nick.
These guys playing some real basketball. Only thing with Harden, 5.6 turnovers a game. You got to take a little better care of the basketball. Yeah. You're not going to, you know, you can't do that over the long course of the season and expect to be an MVP.
Moke, some tough games coming up for the Knicks over the next week until we'll be back. The Knicks, we're going to be in Boston on Friday, Toronto on Saturday, home against the Mavericks on Monday, and home against the Hawks on Wednesday. So some tough games coming up.
Tough games coming up. They look, you got to get the Mavericks game. The back-to-back
split
this coming weekend.
Hope for a split.
I mean, obviously you hope to win both of them.
Of course.
If you get a split, you'll take it. But two really tough games. So you're going up to beat Tampa.
Yeah, I'm going up to Boston. In the last 8 times I've been to Boston, the Knicks have lost. So it's time to end that streak, baby. Always fun rapping with you, brother.
I love your dedication, man. If they lose 8 times in a row, I'm not going. If they lose 3 times in a row, I'm not going up the 4th
It's about 7 or 8 for me. But listen, thank you, everybody, as always, for listening.
Bring me back some clam chowder.
We love you guys. Make sure to follow me on Twitter, AnthonyMSB.
Or some baked beans or something.
Follow Moke at Moke Hamilton. I'll try to bring you guys back some treats from Boston. Also, check out Moke's work with BasketballInsiders.com. Big thanks to our producer, Jason Pateri. Always does a fantastic job.
Or you can bring back a Red Sox t-shirt.
Hey,
I know you're
bringing
a big
Red Sox stuff back. It's Yankees all day, every day. Gary Sanchez, baby, MVP next year. Have a good one, everybody. Take care.
This has been the Knicks Blog Podcast, part of the SNY.TV Audio Network.